You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 30 August. We had some more Japanese CPI this morning, 2.6% year on year. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Abdul Mugwenshu, independent analyst, the Implats results, the write-down sentiment to the loss, but I mean tough period, and then Blue Label, which perhaps got more asterisks and T's and C's than usual in result. Milani Muleleke, Absa CIB senior economist, looking ahead to next week's second quarter GDP rate cuts, and I want to touch on oil. What's that Brent price telling us? And then thoughts from me on market expectations really being what matters as results land. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Sanlam firms on rosy earnings update. Life Assurance benefited from robust results achieved in the Pan-African operations, while General Insurance experienced improved performance from Santam. Business Day, we want sovereign wealth fund, but not now, Ramaphosa says. Dividends from state-owned enterprises should provide funds for an envisaged wealth fund. Dividends from state-owned enterprises, don't they have to be profitable? Morning markets, US was red. Although, I mean, the S&P was down 0.22 points, so hardly at all. NASDAQ off 0.1%. East is mostly green. Sydney, the exception, down 0.1%. Tokyo up 0.6%. Hong Kong up 1.6%. And Tencent up 1.2%. Commodities are mostly green. Gold is flat, $2,548. Brent, $80.12. Platinum, $944. Palladium, $977. Rand, $1,776. Bitcoin, $59,000. And top 40 opening call, red open, 160 points or 0.2% to the downside.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Jenny and I with Audrey Mugwenshu, independent analyst. Audrey, appreciate the early morning time. Implats, I mean, as I was reading the results, it really struck me that what they can manage, production, sales, unit costs, all going the right direction, but it really was that revenue per ounce that's down 30% that hit the profits. They wrote down 20 billion. Your take on Implats and the PGM sector generally, I mean, I look at it and it's like, sure, one day PGMs will start moving higher and there'll be an opportunity. But for now, man, that space just looks messy.
100%. I think right now it's a very terrible time for the PGM markets. As you said, you know, in terms of Impala, everything right, up more than double digits for production and sell volume. But as you said, what's been hurting them the most is the high double digit costs of selling each unit, dropping 34%. And it doesn't seem like things are changing in the short term. I think, I mean, they did state that they believe it's sentiment around PGMs at the moment. We are also seeing a low car sales volumes, which then also hurts them quite a bit because that's their primary market. But however, I mean, they are still selling at relatively, you know, stable volumes. But however, again, we did also see a very strong push in PGM metals 2 years ago. So, you know, the prices have also dropped from those highs as well, which then also contributes to their sales.
Sure, I'd forgotten it was just 2 years ago when we were getting absolute record profits from these platinum miners. I mean, my sense is that, you know, things will turn, but there's no rush. As a potential investor or trader, we can sit back and wait. We have time on our side, and we just don't know with commodities how long they stay at the bottom of the cycle.
100%. I think, I mean, there is opportunity in the long term as we're not seeing a strong comeback from China in terms of the EV space as well. So, you know, the fear right now with PGMs is the growth of EVs, and we are not seeing a strong adoption in that industry, which then could lead to this potential comeback from the platinum or PGM mines, and that could be on the upside. So in the long term, it does look well. If you look at the balance sheet, they are still relatively strong. They still got some cash on hand. So they can weather the storm for the period. And in terms of cost cutting, they've done a very strong job, especially IMP in terms of cost cutting, and that is a positive for them.
Yeah, that write down, 20 billion. If they didn't write it down, they would have made a profit, a small profit, a couple of billion, but a profit. Let's move to Blue Label. I mean, this was a darling stock for a long time. Celsius been a bit of a disaster. Those results, I have to say, left me with a headache. Terms and conditions, revenue's down, but if you look at it this way and that asterisk, it's up. I mean, there's just so many moving parts. Were you able to sort of deconstruct and understand what's happening there?
You're right. You put it in the most nice way. It is a bit of terms and conditions, but if you look at it overall, revenue is down quite a bit. Gross profits are down. They highlighting certain parts which don't really play to what's happening. They're saying, you're looking at the gross profits down, but they say gross profits margins are up, which then indicates at least they're doing some cost cutting on that side. They are getting great revenues from pinless or top-ups or prepaid electricity, mm-hmm. which is quite great. However, the business itself is not doing well on the revenue front as well. So overall, they also didn't do well in the net income, closing off a bit lower there. So, nothing too great, coming out of this. I think they're trying to over-explain and not really giving us the real bottom line.
And Celsius, telcos are highly competitive, and it is tough being, I don't know if they're number three or number four, depends where you put telecom in the game. It's a tough space to be the number three or number four telco. Even it's tough being number one or two. Being further down the list is no fun.
Oh, 100%. I think it's a very competitive environment right now, especially if you're not looking at other markets like the one and two slot, even though those also come with their hiccups and asterisks as well. It's quite a very tough environment to be in right now. I think SLC needs to do a lot of rebranding and try and get their name out there a bit more. That might play into their benefit. But right now, what's working for them is prepaid electricity. Yeah. And the like, and the SLC is not really playing. It's very tough for them right now.
Yeah, their big loss branding, I think, was Trevor Noah, chief experience officer, I think they called it. But that was way. That was maybe a decade ago. Audra McGrenshaw, independent analyst, appreciate the early morning time. And on a programming note, next week I'm going to be on holiday. We've got a bunch of stand-in hosts who will be each doing one day of the show. We've got Solomon Gondin on for Monday, Karen Whitten on Tuesday. Odwa will be coming in on Wednesday morning. Adisha Naidu for Thursday and Dina Sokola on Friday. I'll be back the following Monday, but each of them get one day to host. It's going to be grand. I'll be listening, but I'm going to be listening from the beach.
Your money can do more when it's investing with conviction. Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to in-depth, broad market research and high-return investment strategies. So invest in a select set of companies with long-term structural growth potential with StanLib's Global Growth Fund. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Melanie Maneleke, Absa CIB Senior Economist. Maneleke, appreciate the time today. We've got local GDP for second quarter. If my memory is correct, it's coming out on Tuesday. We should get, I don't necessarily want to say a good number, but a better number. We had a peaceful transition out of majority power from the ANC. We had largely no load shedding during the period. In fact, I think last load shedding was in March, so it was 3 months without. Could we be cautiously optimistic?
Yeah, you're right. So those numbers are coming out next Tuesday. It's a great number, not necessarily, but I think to the degree that, we get a little bit of a recovery from what we saw in the first quarter, that contraction of 0.1%, I think that would be encouraging. We know that there was lots of concern, I think, sort of going into elections. There were lots of anecdotes around sort of businesses holding back on all kinds of things. But I can tell you, Simon, that when you look at the high frequency data that we have seen for April to June, it does look like there was a bit of a rebound in the second quarter. So we're expecting those figures to show quarterly growth of 0.6%. But one of the things that unfortunately you will continue to see in the underlying data is that, you know, that rebound is very uneven. You know, the performance across the different parts of the economy is very, very uneven at this stage.
Where are we seeing sort of weaker spots? Because typically, I mean, financial services does well, but sometimes it's mining, sometimes it's agriculture. Where are you expecting perhaps some weakness?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at the high frequency stuff that we've seen, encouragingly, manufacturing, which is, of course, one of the more infrastructure intensive parts of the economy, looks like definitely benefited from this environment where electricity supply has been stable. So that seems to be up. But disappointingly, when you look at mining, you know, which you also maybe would have expected to pick up a little bit, that seems to be down in the second quarter. You look at an area like construction, I think to the degree that we can rely on such as data around sort of buildings, plans passed, buildings completed, that area of the economy looks like it's continued to be under a bit of pressure. And then on the demand side of the economy, things are also a little bit mixed. I mean, you do see that Q1 was quite poor, I think, for retail sales, but the second quarter looks to be up a little bit. But there are also other areas, like when you look at restaurant activity and the like, that also looks to have softened a little bit. So broadly mixed picture, but I think at an aggregate level, we're going to see a bit of a positive print. And that's encouraging, of course.
Absolutely. And you mentioned retails there. I mean, consumers, you know, if we sit here in late August, we've got inflation almost at that 4.5%. We've got rate cuts expected next September. It's been, again, I was going to say it's been a tough year for the consumer. It's actually been a tough couple of years, you know, pandemic, then low rates, but then the very high rates, the very high inflation. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel for the consumer, and it's going to be a bit slow again, but it is going in the right direction.
No, I absolutely agree. There's been a lot of strain on consumers last couple of years. You know, we've seen it in the spending data. We've seen it in various data sets showing us debt distress. You know, some figures from the NCR, you look at that, you look at Q1 of this year, Simon, arrears on debt, outstanding consumer debt, you know, were as high in Q1 of this year as they were in the fourth quarter of 2010. So people have been under a lot of pressure. You know, they have cut where they can, and it's been difficult to keep up with debt repayments. But I agree with you that it's a story that should also start to slowly get better. Yes, the pressure will still be there, but we think cyclically, things should start to get a little bit better. Because if we think about the two sources of financial strain for consumers last couple of years, elevated inflation that in general has actually been higher than wage growth for most people, that should start to come down. And I think into next year, we could get into the space where we start to see a little bit of positive real wage growth. So lower inflation should be supportive. We've already seen fuel inflation. Fuel prices are coming down, and it does look like we're getting another chunky fuel price cut at the start of September. That's positive for consumers. And then, of course, as you point out, the interest rates, they've been high for a while, but we do think that, you know, there's a lot of scope right now for the South African Reserve Bank to begin easing these interest rates. I mean, inflation was at 4.6% in July. You know, we think it's going to come to the midpoint of the target range in the next few weeks. In fact, we think we could go even lower than the midpoint of the target range as far as headline inflation is concerned in the final quarter of this year. So that gives the SARB, I think, quite a bit of comfort to start cutting rates. So we are expecting 2 rate cuts this year of 25 basis points in September and November, and we're expecting 2 more of the same magnitude in January and March of next year. And that's also going to be very supportive and a welcome amount of relief for consumers.
Yeah, 1% will certainly help folks. Might take a bit of time. Inflation there, I mean, my sense is, and I don't know, I mean, I look at, as you mentioned, 4.6. It's, you know, within a smidgen of the 4.5 target. Can central bankers, and I'm thinking not just ours, I'm thinking Jerome Powell from his statements at Jackson Hole last week. I mean, can central bankers sit down and sit back and say inflation is beaten, or do they never take that eye off that ball? Is that just not something a central banker does?
You know, the central bankers will always be cautious. And I think for the U.S., specifically for the Fed, we know that they didn't quite anticipate the inflation surge that came after COVID. You know, they had been, you know, talking initially that, you know, it was going to be temporary, or to use their language, it was going to be transitory. It proved to be much stickier than that. So yes, inflation has come down. Here in South Africa, we're getting close to the midpoint of the target. In the U.S., also slowly approaching the target. But, you know, I don't think that central bankers are going to be necessarily taking a victory lap here. You know, they're still going to be cautious. And of course, what they will want is to make sure that, you know, inflation doesn't just continue to come down, but it actually remains anchored at the targets. So I think expect an environment where, yeah, sure, things do open up for rates to come down, but the caution that we have seen from central banks, I think, is still going to be there.
Yeah, and maybe that is part of their remit. Always be cautious. Fair enough. Someone needs to be. A last question. We've got Brent oil. It's around 80. It drops below 80. It's been into almost the low 70s. Good for South Africa. You mentioned there around the petrol price for consumers, but also perhaps telling us a bigger global picture around global GDP growth, maybe not being sort of, I don't want to say weak, but not being robust.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, if you look at, you know, advanced economies, certainly some of the prints around activity that have come down recently pointing to a little bit of softening. But I think if you start to see some policy easing come through, then that slowdown not necessarily need to be dramatic. But of course, I think it's an important risk that we need to keep an eye out for, because I think if the huge global slowdown in economic activity could certainly affect us here this side as well going into next year.
But I take your point that policy easing could perhaps help offset to a degree. We'll leave it there, Miolani Maluleke. He's ABSA CIB Senior Economist. Always appreciate the time.
Your money knows that reaching new heights means turbulence. But what if you don't have to feel it? Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to a broad range of global strategies. So when you invest in StanLib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money can withstand the ups and downs caused by market fluctuations. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Some Friday thoughts from me on market expectations. When results come, I mean, are they good or bad? Well, relative to what? And it's relative to what the market was expecting. Now, in South Africa, we get trading updates if your HEPS is more than 20% different, although we get a lot of voluntary updates as well. So that helps set expectation. But we could see, for example, on Blue Label, we had the big move on the trading update of last week, and then the results come and the move is a little more muted because it was that update. In the US, what's really important as well is management guidance. Management will, with most of those listed companies, guide over the next four quarters what they expect revenue to be, and it'll be in a range, and what they expect the profits to be, the earnings per share, again, within that range. And it's what that guidance is that really drives the US. So it's driven by what actually happens with the results. But again, that guidance. And fair enough, because management in theory knows best. They're telling us what they're expecting over the next 12 months. So that is going to be a big driver. Is the guidance higher? Is it moving lower? Is it unchanged? That's what I think hit NVIDIA. The results were fine. Doubling over a year is absolutely good. But the expectations, the guidance going forward was perhaps a little light for what the market was looking for. Hence, stock sold off. But all said, over time, in the long term, what drives share prices is going to be those profits. Ultimately, it's going to be that cash flow. All of these big moves, all of these expectations, all of these guidance, they're noise. What matters is cash. Attention all investors and finance enthusiasts, get ready for the annual Money Summit, Africa's largest and most influential savings and investment event. Join me Tuesday, September 10 at the Sandton Convention Center as we connect with over 100 top CEOs and industry leaders across 20 conferences and forums, all in one awesome day. Secure your spot now. Register online at moneysummit.co.za for free with the code MoneyWebGuest. One word. This is your chance to be part of Africa's premier savings and investment event. Don't miss it. That's it for today. We're chatting with Jimmy Moyaha about those NVIDIA results. As I said, beaten revenue and EPS, but perhaps a little light in terms of guidance. We asked you, are you holding this hype stock? And let's be clear, it's a hype stock. It's doing great stock, great numbers, but it's hype. The answers were equally split. Watching, but expensive. No, because valuation is crazy. And yes, because loving it. That stock is still some 140% up year to date. So if you bought it at the right time, you are having a great time. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome rating in your podcatcher of choice, and we'll chat again in 2 weeks. But Solomon, go and then on Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.